appreciate you waiting so long for another episode of the Newbie Brothers. We're just really busy, okay? I'm Justin. Tank is here. This episode specifically, we got to give you the warning. Spoilers all over the place. We're going to dive into our thoughts about The Boys Season 3 and Stranger Things Season 4. So if you haven't watched either of those or you're worried about spoilers for either of those, this might not be the episode for you. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and come back once you're finished, okay? We will have a non-spoiler episode that will come out later in the week, so we don't want you to miss that by not subscribing. So let's start with the one you thought was better. The Boys are Stranger Things.
Shit. Wow. Both incredible for entirely different reasons.
Yeah.
Damn. This by far best season of Stranger Things to me.
I think by far the best season of Stranger Things and The Boys.
I would probably agree with that. Like, yeah. I feel like The Boys has been so true to its character development, and watching these characters arc.
Well, a lot of times with The Boys, and I feel like, I guess we're kind of getting into The Boys, with their character development, and I felt like this specifically with the Deep and A-Train mostly, is like, bro, you were so close to being good and doing the right thing, and then you just totally didn't. Like, you were so close.
I think with The Boys is like such an indictment on people, and a lot of people say it's an indictment on the right. A lot of people say it's an indictment on the left.
There's a good amount of both, in my opinion.
Both. There is both. Yeah. Both exist. But I think what it really is an indictment on, number one, corporations and how evil they are. And, a lot of corporations that we use today, the big thing with Vought was a Nazi. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of corporations we use today in bed with the Nazis, not only that, but the way they handle all of their business and things like that, it's crazy. There's some really good parallels there. And, I think you're going to take away from it whatever your side is. You're going to think that it reinforces your stance.
And as somebody that is relatively in the middle, politically, I feel like, at least, I found it just humorous on both ways that they were making fun of both sides. You know what I mean? Like with A-Train, essentially handing a Pepsi and ending racism in the video, making fun of the Jenner. Was it Kylie Jenner?
It was Kylie. And it was such a good reproduction of that commercial. I was crying.
Now, I will say, my wife does not watch the show, so I usually watch it whenever she's at work on the weekends. So I happened to, and this is like back from the very first episode, essentially, when it started up. I was like, oh, Nicole's on her way home, I'll watch an episode real quick. Well, I got distracted and then turned the episode on, and she came in, and I was probably only like 5-6 minutes in, and it was the scene where the dude goes small and up the guy's pee hole. And she was like, yo, what the fuck are you watching?
At first, it took me a second to realize which orifice he was climbing in.
And then when Frenchie's like, he's trying to, I was just like, dude, it's so comical. The writing room, I was telling my parents, actually, so the other problem I ran into is I suggested the show to my parents after the first season.
Oh, that's not a show for your parents.
My parents love it. They love it. Dude, they love it. When I saw that scene and the Herogasm episode, I was like, oh no.
Like, love sausages, the dude. He's that dude. Oh, that was so funny. But like, it's so funny because, they set you up for this big showdown of what's going to happen at the end, and it kind of doesn't go like
that. But I think that's like the overall message is like, nothing's ever going to go the way you want it to.
That's why that was such a good, that's why that worked so well. And like, you're not disappointed that it didn't happen, because if what happens the way you expect it, you got is there a ghost in your room?
There's like, I don't know, there's like a party going outside on the other side of my room right now. I was trying to figure out what was going on.
It just, it's, if it goes exactly the way you expect it to do, it could be a letdown as well. So I love the way it went down. And I loved, dude, I think Butcher is one of my favorite characters of any TV show of all time.
The only thing that was relatively predictable out of the whole show, and really you kind of knew it was going to happen from the end of season two, is that his kid was going to eventually turn on them and become a bad guy potentially. I mean, that's the way it seems like it's going.
I don't know if we're there yet. Now, here's the thing. The smile that the kid gave at the end of the episode, very
creepy.
Not just creepy, but like foreboding. You know what I mean? Like,
because he saw him kill that guy and he was like,
things were
clicking.
With both of those guys, with Homelander and Ryan, it's all about validation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Butcher was like, I know what Butcher was trying to do was to push Ryan away so that he wouldn't be sad that Butcher wasn't there.
Because Butcher
was pushed him right into Homelander's arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Homelander gave him that not only sense of family, but also that acceptance that he's looking for. And that's bad news.
And by the way, the other part that really got me was that scene where you're convinced they're building it up like Soldier Boy is going to betray the boys. Mm-hmm. You know, the second he sees his son, like, it's coming, it's happening, like, this is what's going to happen. And then he just destroys Homelander with his words, and you're just like, oh my god, this guy mentally has to be so wrecked right now. Like, it was
Jensen Ackles crushed Soldier Boy.
I knew he would, because I knew Soldier, like, everything I had read, once I found out he was gonna be Soldier Boy, I've told you, I loved him in Supernatural. I loved it. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, let me read up about this Soldier Boy character and what he's supposed to be like. I was like, this fits. Like, it's a superhero Dean, if you could be a little more vulgar and more into the alcohol and drugs type thing from Supernatural, which had to be PG. Like, it just fit so perfectly, and I knew it was going to be great. I knew he was going to knock it out of the park. Now, obviously, he's not dead in the show.
No, and that's great.
So I wonder if he's coming back, or
he'll definitely be back for sure, because there's no way that, as popular as he was and as well as he did this season, they're not going to bring him back. Also, I was shocked at feeling bad about Black Noir dying. Mm.
So I wanted to bring that up, and this is perfect. My parents, who love the show, the thing that they said, they're like, the only thing we don't think we're understanding, because maybe we're too old, is the cartoony stuff with Black Noir. And I was like, I think it just showed that he also seemed like the one that had it the most together. He also didn't have it together, you know?
No. So all these guys, all these superheroes, every single one of them is messed up.
Yeah.
They're all messed up in different ways for different reasons. And I think that what was his name? Ernest? Is that what his real name was?
I think that was, what was it? Was it a mouse? A bunny?
It was a beaver.
A beaver. That's right. Yeah. Ernest. He kept calling him Ernest. Yeah.
That doesn't sound right, but whatever his real name was, and he kept calling him. So Black Noir is alone. Yeah. All these guys are alone because, number one, there's very few people in the world like them. Yeah. Even though they're surrounded by the people that are like them, they're still just messed up people. So this
and it's all celebrity stuff. So it's all for the look, the fame.
It's all fake. And and since Black Noir doesn't have a voice, they had to find a way to get the exposition of, like, what his feelings were. And honestly, man, it was such a great way to do it, because it showed that he's basically still a child. I don't know if you remember the scene where he had the rabbit or whatever it was, the doll.
So
this guy's basically still a child, but he's also a mass murderer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's these juxtapositions that show up like this. And it kind of gave you, like, I was surprised at the feels I got for Black Noir when he was dying, like, especially with the little cartoon guys fading out.
You're like, they're all crying. I was just like, oh,
so sad. I was like, oh, this is-
but I knew it was coming. Like, there was no
way. Sure. Yeah. And that's, you know, this is the guy who betrayed both of his leaders. You know what I mean? Like,
I also, and this is kind of not on the Black Noir topic, but they, in a way, like by doing that, they gave us a little insight into Black Noir. Mm-hmm. I also like how they did that with Butcher, with the guy when they locked eyes, they were able to do like a flashback. So you kind of know a little bit more about his past other than him just saying it. Like that flashback was able to give us an understanding of all the messed up stuff that Butcher has gone through and dealing with too.
Well, they do a great job of context.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, which is hard to do, especially when you're already 3 years into a show.
Yes.
You're still building on these characters. I was really impressed with the way they rounded out everybody's characters, you know, while still telling the story.
You know, and I felt, and again, with the Black Noir stuff and telling the story, you kind of feel the same with, oh my gosh, she's in The Boys, the strong one. What's her name? With Frenchie. Yes. You kind of get that too, where she's like with the music, like she's really in touch with the music and wanting to just like dance. And she thought
she still has that childlike wonder because in essence, her innocence was taken away from her.
Very much so. Yeah.
But the interesting thing about her arc is that she realized that it wasn't the V. It was her.
Yeah.
The V just made her better at it.
So she wanted the V back. Now, now going forward, I wonder if permanent V will play into Butcher's situation that he's now in, obviously.
Maybe. So this is one of the things that it didn't bother me about the show because it was good as part of the story, but I never understood because Mother's Milk's story was like I said, they rounded everybody's stories out. Mother's Milk's story came in and Huey's part. And
yeah.
I don't know what they were expecting to do with Homelander. Like it baffles me that they show up with a shotgun, you know, like you might as well show up with a Super Soaker 50 to take out.
You're saying when they went to Herogasm?
Yeah. They're like, when they went to Herogasm, when they went to the building to take out Soldier Boy.
Oh, what yeah.
Plan? Like, their whole plan and to take out Homelander. You gotta take out Homelander. Homelander's got to go because he's evil and he could dominate the world. He could end the world by himself. And they're like, I don't know. They think they're going to put him in handcuffs. So I don't know what they think they're going to do. And I don't know why they're so upset with Butcher for taking the V
The V stuff was like that. Taking the V was against everything that was like their core, you know, that the superheroes are bad. Taking this V, becoming a superhero is bad because they're all bad. And then when Butcher did it, it was like that's our core value that you just went against.
Yeah, but unless your core value is losing, then you better change your values. Because
Don't get me wrong. If I were on The Boys, I'd be injecting that V so fast. Yeah,
so hard. I would be
so quick.
I'd be shooting up with a goddamn cake decorator because this is like you can't beat this guy any other way.
And what do you think?
Destroy the world.
What do you think if you shut up V? Your superpower would be because it kind of played into their personalities a little bit.
And that's another brilliant kind of thing done by the writers. Like Huey's disappears. That's his thing. Like
he disappears, but like his clothes can't come with him, which is like just like so perfect for him. You know,
that was the best part. I don't know. I think probably for me it would be something fat, something real, real fat. I would just lay over a building or something like that.
You'd go full on what was that? Nutty Professor.
Exactly, right. I'd be a parachute or something like that. Yeah.
Just full out Nutty Professor on people.
I'd be a human manatee. I mean, Manatee Man.
What do you think mine would be?
Probably talking to the manager.
You just always requesting more work.
No. Not talking to your manager. Going to Target and be like, I need to return this. Let me talk to the manager.
The ability to Karen.
Karen. That's exactly what you would be. Captain Kevin.
Super Karen.
You're Captain Karen.
What's your ability? Oh, I am great at complaining to the manager. Can you imagine?
I see the slightest infraction in a parking lot. I can really pick those out. I gotta tell you, great season. Great.
Yeah. It felt really short.
Yeah, we waited because I didn't want to have to wait each week for each episode.
Yeah.
Because I hate that.
Yeah.
But I was just so happy with it. And I mean, moving on from that to Stranger Things.
Another great one.
So very happy with Stranger Things. And God damn it, how long are we going to have to wait for the next season? Which is, by the way, the last season. Is it going to be 2 years?
2 years.
This is some bullshit, man.
Those kids are going to look real old.
I'll be dead by then.
So here's my worry when Stranger Things when the newest season started, season 4, they kind of have and the whole season's like this. They have three areas of concern, right? Groups, almost like the groups split up in three different areas.
I really liked the way they did that.
I was worried that one of them was either going to be not as important or forgotten about as much. Mm-hmm. And it never felt that way. But I was very worried, like, that we're all in these different situations and they're all dealing with other BS that's going on. So I was worried, like, eventually it's going to get to a point where, like, one is not as important to the storyline. So how are you going to take it away? But they wrapped it up perfectly by bringing them all essentially back at the end.
Well, and they all played a big part.
Yes.
And the, another thing, they lost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they won, but they also lost. That's why I don't understand how it's going to be 2 years. Like the way it was set up is what's going to happen right when we come back. Like, cause they're
right in it. I mean, it's right there, man. And so, I know we ended last episode or two episodes ago. I forget how the order came out predicting who was going to die.
Mm.
I did not think, and I know there's some speculation on
said Eddie was going to be the one that died.
Well, I knew Eddie, and I have a hot take that I think it should have been Dustin, not Eddie. And I'll tell you that in a second. But Max dying, quote unquote dying, like whatever happened. That might have been the closest a show has ever got me to crying. Like dude, when she went and, you know, and Lucas is right there essentially trying to fight to help her. Like, oh my, I was just like, it was killing me inside, you know, because
Lucas was like, Erica, help. That was like, sure.
And I've never, I hated the the basketball player more than I hated Vecna. I said the same thing.
I said, why is the basketball player a bigger villain than the monster? Screw this kid.
For the longest time, my wife had gotten a spoiler and like on social media and knew who Vecna was, and I didn't yet. So she was like, "Oh, I know who Vecna is," and I was like, "It would not surprise me if it's the basketball like leader kid. Like, it would not surprise me at all." Obviously, it wasn't. But
I called that. I called it in the third episode.
Yeah, because I didn't remember Vecna like that character before he was Vecna. I didn't remember him. So like, I kept being like, why is this dude creepy as hell up on 11? Like what are you doing, bro? Like that was the part that got me. And then when she told me it wasn't the basketball player, I was like, oh, then I know exactly who it is because this guy's creepy as hell.
Yeah. He was a real creep. Also kudos to them for, almost killing Max because you didn't think that was even on the table. You know what I mean? Like, because they were fighting to stop that the whole time. Yeah. I don't foresee that they would kill any of the core four.
Right. And so this brings me to my Dustin point, right?
Okay.
So from a character development standpoint, right, Dustin's whole thing has always been like gravitating to a quote unquote father-ish figure, whether it was Steve and then Eddie.
Right.
That was kind of his thing. And obviously from a family perspective, you know, Dustin does not have a father. He's got his mom at home. And so I wonder if that's, you know, kind of the mentality behind that. Now, Eddie obviously was a massive fan favorite. And so what I'm trying to figure out from like a next step development for Dustin's character, where does he go? What I would like to see more, and I'm sure there's a great storyline that they're going to have for him, but imagine a storyline of Eddie surviving that, but Dustin dying. And now Eddie is still public enemy number one because they think he did all of this. Right. So he's having to navigate getting through everything while still being this unsung hero in a way that nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. The core four is now in shambles because Dustin died as a hero. I think he kind of looked kind of like a bitch in that whole situation of trying to get to it. Like, I get it, but like, I was like, come on, man, can we make him just seem like a little more of like a badass? Like, right, he's just right. getting his ass kicked. So if he had died, Mike and all of them, like those people didn't even know Eddie. So why are they going to be affected by this death? They're not. Only Dustin is. And so I know that's going to be a big part of his character development going forward. But could you imagine the core having to deal with the fact that they just got there? Max is whatever, like dead-ish. Dustin is dead. Eddie, they just meet this guy who's, he's a wreck because his buddy's dead. Mike, Lucas, all of them are like got these, there would just be all in shambles. So, and the way that they left things before they went, and Lucas not being cool with them because of the basketball stuff. Like, dude, I just think it would have been this bigger problem that they would be mentally trying to deal with while trying to fix everything.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think the reason
he's probably the most loved character.
Dustin.
And now that Eddie's gone, I think Dustin's one of the fan favorites.
I kind of hate Mike.
Oh yeah.
I kind of hate Mike. He's kind of a douche.
I think Will is going to be like a bad guy going forward.
You think he's like,
I think he's going to be like a Vecna something. Like I either Vecna's going to take over his body. Cause like the second they got back, he started having the neck thing again. Like he's still connected
to that world. Also, I don't know what they're trying to set up with him. And like, do you think they're trying to allude to the fact that Will is gay and that he's in love with Mike?
So I saw a theory, and it was a TikTok theory. Obviously, there is that at play. There was also, you know, the scene where he's over there crying.
Yeah, that's what makes me wonder about
that. That seemed a little more like I'm leading my best friend into a slaughter crying more than it is. So there was some talk that the theory was Mike is already, or not Mike, Will is already a like vessel for Vecna in a way, and he's controlling him a little bit. And Will is leading them back to Hawkins, mainly 11, but he knew. And in with that thing where they're fighting the dragon, which, by the way, that dragon in Dungeons and Dragons lore is the strongest bad guy. They've never introduced that dragon. There's a lot of foreshadowing to the fact that they might fight a dragon. And in that painting, he said Will was number one up there fighting. And so that could mean death is on the way for them. So I think it could be a little bit of that. I think there is a bit of that going on, but I think it's deeper where it is, because I also feel like the actor, when they asked him if Will was gay, he was like, it's up for your interpretation, which I feel like if the writers and everybody were like, yes, he is, why not just say, yes, he is?
Right.
Unless
it's not this really stuff is,
right. If this stuff is deeper and more to it than just his sexual preference.
You know, I mean, honestly, like, I don't, if they want to make him gay, that's fine. Obviously it's going to be unrequited because Mike's not gay, because he's so whipped by 11.
Yeah, he is whipped too.
So whipped, dude.
Well, but I can't even hate, because that, like, me, that's me. That would be me. That's
me. It is you in real life. So I just, my thing is like, what's the point if it's going to be unrequited? You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You know, like, so, but
unless that part of it, like, unless him being into Mike
and Mike not loving him is what makes him evil.
It's what Vecna is able to like tap into to turn him and twist his mind a little bit.
He doesn't have any powers though. So like maybe
he might now. We don't know.
So that could be a baseline for a story, but sure. Also, you know, there is, dude, growing up is hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when your friends move on and everybody's going different directions, dude, that's one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
Harder than any breakup I've ever had is watching all my friendships dissolve from when I was a kid. You know what I mean? And you know, I still am friends with a few people that I was growing up, but the, you know, what's the, there's that thing that says one time you go outside to play with your friends and it's the last
time.
You know what I mean? So like, that is like a really hard reality. And some people, you know, like Mike and Lucas, they have something else. Lucas is trying to be popular. Mike has 11.
Mm-hmm.
But Will and, you know, Dustin is Dustin. You know what I mean? Like, Dustin is like the most, I think, sentient and most
himself.
You know,
he just is what he is.
Right. Yeah. He is what he is. He isn't affected by what other people think of him, which I think is like a really incredible trait for his character.
You definitely need that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, you know, Will is the most dependent on the group, and, you know, to see his brother step up and say, I'm here for you and stuff like that. Like, that's cool. But there's obviously something else there. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're missing part of the story. So hopefully they'll tell
us
that.
And I'm telling you, that's, I think it's tied to a Vecna situation. It's gotta be.
Could be.
I hope it is. I think it would be a really good, like, plot twist type thing for sure. So.
Yeah. And the upside down, you know, world and everything like that, needing a king, needing a ruler. But this season coming up is the last season.
Yeah.
So,
but they're already talking about, so the Duffer brothers, they formed Upside Down Entertainment. I could have that wrong. But they signed an agreement with Netflix to do a bunch of stuff. Like,
there's going to be a spinoff of the show.
Yeah, so there's a spinoff, so maybe they lead into that a little bit, and maybe it is like a Will and 11 type thing, or whatever it ends up being. Although a lot of people are saying they think 11's going to die, and there's been a lot of foreshadowing to that. I don't know, but maybe. So we'll see how it lays out. It was so well done, and I was, this season, I didn't realize it until it was so well at the end. I think this season was like the kind of make or break season for me, where like, if it just kind of was I probably wouldn't have watched season 5. Really? But it was so good, I'm in for season 5. No doubt going to be watching it for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's my wife and I like it. So we've been enjoying it so much.
This was the Empire Strikes Back season, because, you know, Empire Strikes Back, widely regarded as the best Star Wars film, also where the Rebels lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, You take that one on the chin, and that's kind of what happened here. You walk away, and we lost Max, we lost Eddie. By the way, can we give like just an appreciation for Eddie and what a great character he was? He was awesome the entire season.
And by the way, Master of Puppets is number 10 as of recording this, I think, on the Billboard Hot 100 charts.
Unbelievable what that show did for two songs.
Yeah, Runners for sure. I mean, dude, our top 40 station is playing Kate Bush a ton, like a ton.
That's wild.
That came out in the 80s.
Wasn't that popular when it came out?
No.
I mean, that's a fact.
But what's really cool, and I think I said this on the last episode, Kate Bush owns all of her masters.
I mean,
so she's making that money. She's good.
She's running up the hill of the bank right now.
She's literally running up that hill with a lot of money to the bank.
She's having a hard time carrying that sack of cash up that hill.
Now it is the problem we run into, you know, with pop stations, songs really aren't more than like 3 minutes long. That thing is 5 minutes long, and I'm like, damn, we need to shorten this thing up.
It's weird too, because you're seeing that effect a lot more, because with the Batman,
yeah, and Nirvana,
that song made a comeback, and I don't know, man. I love that. I love to see that. And you know, so that moment, that Master of Puppets moments,
yeah,
when he's just playing the song, and then the band starts in with him and everything, and it's just, it's such an incredible moment. It's one of my favorite TV movie music moments of
so
all.
So badass.
Because it was so badass.
Mm-hmm. Did you, I saw a thing saying like they did the timeline of it. I guess when the show is set and that song would have like quote unquote come out. Oh, it was only a few months. So they're like, Eddie's character had to have learned that in like a week and a half.
Well, you know, dude, I grew up in the '80s. You know what I'm saying? So I was an eighties kid. So we had that kid in the neighborhood.
That knew that stuff. That like
Eddie, we had Eddie Munson in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Donnie. He was my friend's brother. He's my friend's older brother. And Donnie was a Van Halen fan. So whenever a new Van Halen record would come out, he would just sit there and he would just learn it. He would learn it. And he would be playing the Van Halen songs.
So like it's like no guitar tabs would just sit there and just like go. Like there's no website. So just you would sit there and guess.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you just listen to it. And I mean, like you're talking, Donnie never had a job. I don't think he still has a job, but, you know, I mean, like he would just sit there and play guitar all day.
That's cool.
Listen to that song and try to figure out how to do it. And by the end of the week,
he would be close.
Playing the entire album.
Wow.
So that's the exact kind of cat that Eddie is. You know what I mean? Except Eddie's cool. Eddie's a cool guy. Donnie was kind of a douche. And,
I heard that the ending when he's with Dustin, you know, pretty much dying.
I can't believe that didn't make you almost cry.
Nah, I didn't. Because I was mad because the reason that didn't make me cry is how much of a wimp Dustin looked that whole time. It made me so mad.
How? He came to fight?
He came, but like, you know, Eddie cut the thing. It's just like, oh, the dude hurt his hip falling out of the hole. Like, come on.
You not even falling down? Shit hurt.
I have, but it's like, come on, at least kill one bat, dude. Like, please. He is, for anybody that watched Harry Potter, he is the Neville of Stranger Things, and I just want him to be a badass, and I know Neville becomes a badass, so please, Dustin, become a badass in season 5. Well, so I'm certain
that he's going to become a badass.
He has to, right?
This is a very Spider-Man, Iron Man moment for me.
Yeah.
One. Number two, Eddie was like, I didn't run this time. Oh. Maybe you keep running. You know what I mean? Like all you got to do is distract him. You didn't have to fight him. You just
get like my question was like, so like the reason you cut that rope was so that the bats couldn't fly into the real world. But no,
that's not why they did that. That's not why he did that.
Why'd he do it?
Dustin couldn't come back.
See, the way I perceived it was he cut it so that the bats wouldn't be able to go up there.
No, that's not why.
So
Dustin couldn't climb back in.
Sure. So then jump up there too and then pull it so neither of them can go back in.
What?
Like if Eddie just went in back into the real world, right? Mm-hmm. After the bats were all attacking him, they both go in and he pulls down the rope so nobody can go back in.
You don't need the rope to get in.
I know. Well, Dustin obviously didn't need it. He got there eventually. He hurt himself doing it.
Right. Which is why you have the rope and the cushion so you don't get hurt. But the reason he went to distract the bats was for the mission at the house.
Yeah.
Not for Dustin.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, he was trying to give them more time.
Yeah, give them more time because they were running out of time.
For whatever reason, the bats weren't going into the real world or seemed like they weren't interested in going to the real world. But
maybe they wouldn't survive there. I don't know. Maybe,
could be. Yeah. Possibly because there is definitely a different atmosphere.
For sure.
But him distracting and pulling the bats off kept them from going back to the house to attack
Steve. And which, by the way, they never really told us how they got back.
The traveling, sometimes they have fast travel and sometimes they don't.
Right. Like we had people get back from Russia in like a day and a half, yet it took Mike, Will, 11 and them a whole season to get back.
To get across 5 states. these MFers came across Russia to Alaska down through Canada.
Yeah.
As quick as
in like an hour and a half. Oh, and by the way, connected up with the government and the government drove them there.
Maybe that's why.
They didn't have like a vetting them out process. I don't understand.
What did you think of Argyle?
Argyle.
The pizza dude.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was good comedic relief.
Okay.
I thought he was fine. There were times where I was like, okay, you're leaning into it a little too much. Like, I also kind of wanted him to have like a badass moment. And I get like he kind of saved the day with the salt and everything. But it wasn't like I don't know. It wasn't like the other stoner kid that was working at the other pizza place. Like maybe that guy's like, nah, you got to leave. And he just like knocks him out or something, you know, like just give me a badass moment from him. And I'd probably have been more happy.
And life is a badass. Everybody's got different cools.
I want people to be badass because I am not a badass. I'm projecting.
It's Dungeons and Dragons. Is that some dudes are warriors. Some dudes are wizards. Pawns. Some dudes are dragons. Some dudes are dungeons. I don't know.
And some dudes are stoners that work at a pizza shop.
Fucking A, Benny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I just, it was, it's a great show. I can't wait. Literally, we're going to have to, but I can't wait for the next season. So,
so stupid. They're all going to be 35 years old, you know, like.
Yeah.
1997, and like, I don't understand.
I know. You did notice at one point, I think it was the car scene, that Will and Mike definitely had shaved. Which you hadn't noticed before. You were like, oh, hey, hold on, wait a second. And I think it was, I think it might have been Millie Bobby Brown looked like significantly taller once they got to the pizza shop, like a good bit taller.
Well, I also, you know, she's got some breasts now, which is like weird because you still think of her as a little kid. She's 18. Sure. And I'm not sexualizing it right now. I'm just saying that like you notice that she's starting, you know, and then like when you see her in real life, you know, with hair and stuff like that. I saw her on Hot Ones.
And it's Well, she made fun of Tom Holland.
She did, yeah.
Someone said that they thought her and Noah that looked that Noah from Stranger Things, the kid that plays Will, looked like Ashley Tisdale and I can't remember the actor from High School Musical. They really do actually kind of like. It resembles that in a bit.
So.
They
need to do something with my man Will's hair. I mean, it's bad.
That poor kid needs not have a bowl cut anymore.
Yeah, Jesus, that looks terrible.
I can't wait. Like it's gonna be next season or something like that, and it's gonna be like spiked up or something. Like it's gonna be changed.
Something. They can't leave it like that.
Everybody else's hair has changed a bit, although Dustin's kind of got this mullet thing going on. Mm-hmm. Like so, you know, it is what it is. But
huh? You know what I mean, that was cool back in those days.
Mm.
It's something we did.
I don't think I could pull off a mullet. My cousin, you'll think this funny. My cousin
could not pull off a mullet.
Huh?
You couldn't pull off a mullet.
No. My cousin, you
look like a Mazda Miata with mud tires on it with a mullet.
My cousin is a huge fan. You'll appreciate this of Patrick Mahomes.
Oh yeah.
I do. And his hair's probably a lot like mine where it's just kind of, it goes straight. Like there's no curl that it's just straight. If I were to grow it out, just straight down. And he's six. Like he's just a little kid, loves Patrick Mahomes. So his mom took him to get a perm. So he would have this like curly Patrick Mahomes hair and dude, he looks sick. Like it looks really good, but he has to go get it permed like every so often just to be able to have it.
Hey, I got a perm when I was like five.
Really?
Yeah, I had a perm when I was five. So I can identify. I had blonde hair back then, and I had a little perm. It was not good.
Okay.
Not good at all. I think I'm looking for it. I might actually have it.
Picture of it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I definitely had a bowl cut as a kid. I grew my hair out. It was like a Justin Bieber swoop, you know, when he was like, still really, really young. That was like my hair in high school, probably. And then once I graduated high school, I started working. I just kind of started gelling it to the side, and that's just where I've been ever since.
I did with the in high school, I did what we now know as the forbidden, which is kind of long hair, like, you know, on the top.
Yeah.
And then underneath, just shave. Down.
Don't a lot of women do that on the back? They'll like shave.
Now they do, yeah.
Yeah, but okay.
Back then we were pioneers.
That was the thing.
We were pioneers. Okay.
I remember in the, I think it was like sixth grade, me and my friend we were like playing around the cul-de-sac or something like that. We like made a pact to each other. We're not gonna cut our hair, we're gonna let it grow. And just his hair looked so dope and my hair just grew straight down. And I was like, this is gross. I immediately got it cut. Huh?
I did that for oh no, hold on.
You found it?
I didn't find it, but I found something that you're gonna like.
Oh no. See, the reason that got us wanting long hair, you're going to find this funny, is we were watching Friday Night Lights, and Tim Riggins from the show, Tim Riggins, that dude's hair was so glorious. I wanted it so bad. Oh, I could see it on this. Okay, here we go. Is that you?
That's me.
Nice.
Nope, not nice at all.
I love it. That's a thick mullet.
That's a King Daddy 1990 full on trailer park mullet right there.
That's could have been Max and Eddie's neighbor in that.
That's full on. That's a full on roadhouse, my friend. That is a full on roadhouse.
That's funny.
Jesus, I forgot about that.
Thanks for hanging out with us again on this episode of the Newbie Brothers Podcast. Subscribe and follow us on social media. That way you don't miss any future episodes. And tell your friends about it. That's how we grow this thing a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We will be back later this week to talk about vacations, D-bags, and there was something else, but I can't remember what it is. I guess we'll just have to leave it as a surprise. That should be happening either Wednesday or Thursday of this week. We'll catch you next time.